Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you're listening to The Unknown Show. I'm your host, Bud Smith. On today's show, we're going to talk to Susan Lewis, author of State of the Union and the founding editor of Posit. We're also going to talk with John Dorsey, author of Tombstone Factory, out in Ethicoid Press. Tuesday again. Today on the show, we have a couple great writers we're going to talk to, Susan Lewis and John Dorsey. In that order, Susan Lewis will come on and talk about her great stuff, and then a little later on the show, we're going to talk to John Dorsey. So stick around, check out the whole show. I want to talk about a couple things going on before we get any guests on the air. First of all, I had a novel that came out about a month ago now, called Tollbooth. Promo crap for it is still circling around. It's I'm sure it's annoying a lot of people, all these links and garbage they got to look through their feeds. But new garbagey thing that's popping in up is Tollbooth is going to have a giveaway, 5 copies to 5 people. It's going to be happening through Goodreads, and if you're on Goodreads, you can look for that. Go to the product page for the novel Tollbooth, check it out, enter the contest. You got to click a button, and you'll automatically be entered into a contest to win a free copy of that. Blah, blah, blah. Also, I have copies of that on hand. I just got a few more from Piscataway House, the publisher of the book. And they sent me a few more, so I have them, and I'm selling them through a PayPal link on my site, which is budsmithwrites.com. My name, Bud Smith, WRITES.com. And, follow that site, because I put up short stories on there, I put up poems on there, and things of those natures. So, also one more thing, this show here is going to be going on a small hiatus. I'm going to be doing a pretty big construction job at my refinery where I work at, the Bayway Oil Refinery. They're going to be shutting it down for about 8 weeks, and I won't be around to do this show until probably around Thanksgiving. But keep an eye out, because there's going to be some guest hosts popping up in the coming weeks. And also, feel free to contact me if you're interested in coming back on the show, starting again after Thanksgiving. I'm always curious about what people have going on, and the main purpose of the show is just to have people come on and promote their stuff, you know, let everybody know what you have going on. I don't really particularly care if you have a major project or not. If you have something interesting you want to talk about also that's non-writing related, drop me a line. Send me a note on Facebook, email me through my website, whatever. Hit me up. You know, I'm always interested in what people have going on besides the writing, especially. That seems to be the focus of the show, but it's by no means the end-all of the show. So on that note, I'm going to introduce the first guest here. It is going to be Susan Lewis. And Susan Lewis is a really great lady. I met her a few times in person, which is more than I can say about a lot of people on Earth. Susan is the author of 7 books and chapbooks, including State of the Union, which just came out this week, and How to Be Another, coming out in the next few weeks. Susan is the founding editor of the online journal Posit and the former managing editor of Mad Hat Press, Mad Hat Lit, and Mad Hat Annual. And she's the guest editor of Altered Scale and Right Hand Pointing. So beat that, okay? So Susan, Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Hey, bud.
How's it going?
Thank you so much. Everything is great. It's really fantastic to be here. Thanks.
Nice. Are you calling from New York City?
I am. Greenwich Village, right next to Washington Square Park.
Well, there you go. Can you describe the happenings of the city tonight? What's it look like outside your window? What's going on?
Is the hot dog
guy right outside the window?
Well, you know what? So I have, you know, a really great vantage point. I'm looking at the fountain and the arch of Washington Square Park, and everybody is acting like it's still summer because it was a warm day. Right?
Yeah.
So, like, people are just everywhere.
Oh, it was a warm day.
It was a gorgeous day. And you know, that the thing about New York is whenever it's possible, it seems like everybody looks like they're at a party. I love that.
Yeah. The first couple warm days of the year are always great because you see all the homeless guys walking around, and they just start shedding all their jackets. And you'll see them just all over the sidewalks and extra pairs of pants and you know, all this stuff just littered around. And that's the reverse, you know, once winter's over. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's an awesome city, but yeah.
Yeah, you can't beat it. Tell me a little bit about your new book, State of the Union.
Oh, I'd love to. So I was talking to my publisher, who's Todd Silliman from Spite and Devil Press, and I hadn't seen it yet, and he had, and he said, it's a sweet little number. And it is. It's a great way to describe this book. It's a little square thing. It's a short book. It's got beautiful cover art by a friend of mine who's a really great artist named Melissa Stern. It's a collection of prose poems.
Nice. Did you have it on hand last night? I know you did a reading downtown.
Yeah, I did. Right. Yeah, it was a Sue Polo's reading series, the Saturn reading series, which folks should, anybody who likes to go to open readings or whatever, open mics. She does it every Monday night at this place called Revival Bar, and she's been doing it for 20 years, which is kind of awesome. I had my book. Yeah, have you been there?
Awesome.
Have you done that?
I've been there. I read there. I did like an open mic there one time. Some of the Mad Hat. I think I saw you read there with Mad Hat peeps, and I went back there a couple weeks after, and just to kind of describe it for people listening, if you're anywhere near New York City, it happens every Monday night, and it's one of the coolest open mics I've ever seen because it's like in this really cool. It's like a long room. There's like couches. It's a long room, and you read in front of a fireplace, and there's no microphone, so it's cool. Everybody's like leaning in and listening, and it's pretty neat. And
absolutely.
Nice.
It was good. It was really good. I was the other feature was a young poet that I'm really really behind. I think he's a very really talented guy named Philip Santos Schaefer. So he's super high energy performer, and it was a sweet night, you know. Sue Polo is just the warmest host ever, except maybe you on the radio. Now I'm finding out.
Yeah, Sue is she's competing with me for warmest host ever. We're like I was checking the charts earlier, the hosting charts, and we're some weeks she's number one, some weeks I'm number one. It varies.
Host with the most prize.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, you know, you've got the irony, and she, you know, she that's not
sure.
Sue's. Sue brings, like,
sure.
potato chips and passes them around while people are reading. It's really cute.
Hey,
it's
last
sweet.
Time I was there, she bought me a drink. She's great.
There you go.
I don't do that for anybody.
Right. Well, it would be tough. I mean, really, you know. I mean, virtual is good, but what can we do, right? How much farther can we go?
Yeah. So you got this great new book that just popped up. I'm looking forward to checking it out. I have quite a few of your other ones from seeing you read. You know, you come with like a great pile of chat books, and it's always cool to come and to see the new ones popping up. So what's
Thank
the
you.
Wow.
So this time I got
coming
two coming
up,
out.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, go ahead. Yeah, I have two like coming back to back. So I actually truly feel like I'm having twins or something. It's like, you know, it's been a couple years or whatever. It's been a year since the last book. So what is up with this? You know, they're just back to back. But anyway, it's okay. I love them both.
Tell me a little bit about the other one. So you're saying that State of the Union is mostly prose poems. What is the deal with How to Be Another?
Yeah,
how would you describe
I'll
that?
Give you a little bit more. So State of the Union, they're both prose poems. State of the Union is a short collection, which all the pieces in there have something to do with the notion of the state of some sort of union. So it might be on a societal level or it might be on a personal level, but it has something to do with relations, I guess. And How to Be Another, which is coming out from Chervain and Barva Press, that's a longer book. And it's got and all the poems in State of the Union have a lot of consistency of style. They're not narrative. You know, they're pretty interested in wordplay and intertextualism and stuff like that. And kind of messing with our expectations of prose when you read a paragraph. And then whereas How to Be Another is different. So I divide it up into four sections, and each section has a group of poems that are kind of approaching the prose poetry in a different way. So it's got kind of four styles of pieces in there.
Nice. Could I get you to read some?
Yeah, I would love to. And I'll tell you, so I have a kind of quirky thing with How to Be Another, the one that isn't quite born, you know, somewhere in the birth canal or something, I don't know. Anyway, it's on its way. But the four sections I call IE, EG, VIS, and RX. So I'm sort of thinking of these sort of different ways that you might represent reality, either by example or by restatement, or in the RX one, sort of like prescriptions, you know, for improvement or something like that. It's pretty loose. I mean, I don't think anybody reading them is ever going to understand why I did that. But now that I told you, maybe you will. So I might, those poems are a little bit more fun to read aloud. So I might just give you a couple from that one.
Sounds great.
Okay. And Bud, you've heard, you know, you have heard and read some of my work. So, you know, some of the stuff is more narrative. It's a lot more narrative, almost like parables. And some of it is, you know, kind of out there in a different way. Do you care do you have an idea what you want to hear, or shall I just do stuff?
Well, I want you to read the stuff that you're in the mood to read tonight. But I always like when you tell, some of your stuff does tell a really cool story. If you can maybe sneak one in like that.
Good. Good. That's just what I was thinking I would do. So
nice.
I'm going to start with, because we're starting, I'm going to start with a poem from How to Be Another. It's called Starting Gate. It's in the Viz category. So Viz, which is videlicet, which is like namely or that is to say. And I don't know whether any of that's going to mean anything, but, you know, just so you have it in the back of your head. So this one's called Starting Gate. I want to talk about color. I want to talk about taste buds, sexual attraction, the chemical properties of aroma, and personal pain. When we're through, we'll start over, as we've always done. If you find yourself at a loss for words, speak up. I promise to connect the dots. I promise to keep a glass eye on you. In return, you must promise something you do not want to give, such as your future. Of course, I will politely decline, but you must ignore my diffidence if we are to transcend this mortal coil and amass trophies meretricious enough to stir the neighbors, who are probably still hibernating in their plush and solipsistic canyons of doubt.
Well, canyons of doubt, nice. That's where my that's where my landlord lives.
That's where I live.
Yeah, right.
So, should I do another one?
Yeah, please. Keep them coming.
All right. Okay. So, here's another one. This one's in the EG category, a little bit more of a story called Light and Dark. I got to give a shout out to Brandon Lorber, who edits Lungful, because he published this one first. Okay, Light and Dark. On good days, she can not only sing, but fly like an angel. The other one watches and applauds or throws her a line, which sometimes looks very much like a ball and chain, and which her sister has never grabbed or even acknowledged. This probably has to do with her test scores, which were decidedly uneven. On the other hand, they have more than one father, all of whom ignore them lovingly. This neglect, along with their dinette set, represents all you know and all you need to know. Sometimes the one with the rope wonders why no one else steps up to teach her another skill. Don't worry, reassures the angel. That rope is sure to come in handy one of these days. That's a cheerful one, right?
Yeah. Well, you know.
Can't help it. You know, always go to the dark. I can't, you know, I look for pieces of mine that are slightly more uplifting, but they're kind of few and far between.
Yeah. Well, I always think too often if I read a cheerful poem, you know, secretly the poet is writing a cheerful poem with, you know, a gun in their lap, you know. They scare me a little more.
That's an interesting point. I guess I kind of agree with that. Well, when I first started writing it, a long time ago, people who knew me said, "Whoa, this is a new side of you," because I'm kind of a cheerful person.
Yeah.
So
So they were kind of thrown off by I guess too, like, there's always that thing where people read something you write and take it maybe to be more autobiographical than it ever is.
Oh my God, definitely, and it's particularly if you go venture into anything like first person or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear another one, or should we chat a bit more?
I want to talk a couple minutes, and then I want you to read some more. I like to kind of break it up a little bit because I'm a little curious about a couple other things. I want to make sure we cover them before we lose you here. So I want to ask you a couple questions about the new thing that you're starting up here, this new joint you have, Posit. What's going on with Posit, and what's some pertinent details you can tell me about the new home here?
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much for asking. So, yeah, I've been doing editing in various places now for a little while, and, I've always wanted to do this. I wanted to start my own, right? And So Posit is its tag is a journal of literature and art. I am hoping to bring on an arts editor, and we'll have visual art as well as poetry and fiction. It is brand new, so the website, which people could definitely go to, is under construction, and it tells you nothing right now except the editor email and the submittable place, site. Mm-hmm. But it will be a beautiful online journal, and the website is www.positjournal.com. I actually already am collecting some amazing material, so first issue will be great. The thought is, I've got a few people in on it with me, but, our basic thought is non-sectarian aesthetic, but we're interested in innovative work, we're interested in experimental work, I'm trying to not have a bunch of arbitrary limitations, including length and number of submissions or any of that, and we'll see how that goes.
Well, that's good. So right now you're not setting too much of a length on submission. That's interesting. That's good. I know a lot of times.
I know. I want to see what happens, bud. It's like
I don't really know
how that's going to go. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You never know.
So if I start getting novels, then I'm going to have to say more. But right now, what I really want is people to give me a few things of theirs, so I have me and the other guys have some choice in the matter.
Well, that's great. What's the what do you like most about editing? What do you get out of it? For people who haven't done it.
The very best thing is it's just a thrill to read something and to read somebody that you have not heard of before, and you haven't read their work, and they're amazing, and their work is amazing, and you want to get it out there for people. So I think that's the one. I mean, it's like, you know, digging for gold and you find it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's that's
I think
best.
It's kind of like maybe you're at a bar and you're hanging out and there's a band coming on and there's like 10 people there to see the band come on and they turn out to be one of your favorite groups that you've ever seen and no one else is there to see it and they're brand new and you're like, oh, you guys got to hear this. You got to hear these people. You got to check out their CD. You got to listen to their music. And it's that for writing. It's hard to hard to explain to somebody who they say, why do you edit? That's kind of the thrill of it, huh?
Yeah. I'm right there with you, absolutely. And to some extent too, so in you know, some part of my past I used to teach creative writing at SUNY Purchase and so there's a little bit of the being able to help somebody just take it one step further. I don't do a lot of that, but I have occasionally with some people where they'll send me something and it's just great, you know, until the last few lines or something. And I feel like I can say, look, you know, I'm not telling you to go rewrite this, but I really think I know what you could do to just bump it up a notch. And that's fun too.
Yeah. That's a great part of it. Definitely a great part of it. And I, you know, you'd be surprised at how many stories, man, just benefit from, hey, why don't you cut out that last fucking paragraph? This isn't an episode of Full House. You don't have to include the lesson learned at the end, you know. Maybe we can just chop that off.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about you, but I've also had help. You know, sometimes people have given me great feedback on my stuff, and it often boils down to either chop the beginning or chop the end.
Yeah. Usually editors send me a note, and it says, maybe you shouldn't be from New Jersey. And I'm like, oh, that fucking thing, you know. Yeah, you know, maybe don't spend all your time at a flea market. go see an opera.
Oh, my God.
Just kidding.
No.
But,
yeah, those
hey,
really, yeah, we don't like them.
Ah, fuck that. Hey, I'm wondering if I could possibly pry some more poems out of you here. Can I get you to read a few more?
Well, I was just hoping you would ask. Okay, let me see. All right, so is it a good time for more of a story, or is it a good time for even a more, you know, non-narrative thing?
Why don't you give me a non-narrative and then give me a story?
Cool. Okay. So here's one from the already existing State of the Union. Run, he said. Run, he said, by which he meant something else entirely. Bite down, perhaps, or buck up. It was impossible to internalize with any degree of confidence. Bite down, he repeated, unable to stop foaming at the mouth, meaning to imply something about the government, the nature of privacy, and metaphysics in an intertextual world. Ever the sport, at this last suggestion, she blanched. Rashly, perhaps, she threw her baby down the emergency chute, optimistic it would bring him to a better place. All this discursus interruptus is killing me, she screamed, by which she meant, hold me, reach inside, and paddle what you find until it unfurls to offer a meaningful alternative.
Nice.
Okay, thank you. And how about, all right, so it's called State of the Union. There's three State of the Union poems. I'm going to just read the middle one, State of the Union 2. That every man's dog barks every here, else pops Prozac with his puppy chow. After heavy rain, ancient animosities blossom and bite. Another swell chance to hoard junked foodstuffs plus the gift of gas. Top the food chain to find handcuffs, a Sylvan hostage situation, after which it's one for all for one, plus anyone's guilty guess. Tangled in this web of our own mayhem, choked by too much and not enough, looking to our slaves for affection and a workable excuse. All right. You want to do one? Shall I do one more, or should we take a break and chat?
Why don't you do one more, and then we will talk about whatever the fuck comes up.
Okay. That sounds like just the best thing. Okay, let me just think for one second. All right, how about Oh, no, these are just depressing, and I'm just wishing I could come up with one that isn't. But, you know, what can I do? Here it is.
Yeah, what do you
think? Some things I know. This one's not too bad. Some things I know. It's better to eat a proper breakfast. It's best to have words for the flavor of the day. You have always wanted to have sex with everybody. A simple yes or no should suffice. Without milk, we would not have such big brains. As for your so-called government, I know some serviceable thoughts which are looking for a good home. There is a twist in every trajectory. There are men whose expressions caress into middle age. Any kind of beauty is precious. The more twisted, the more dear. Eyes are nice. Skin is crucial. I don't know how many aspirations sprout from a single seed. I don't know much about movable parts, although they look nice in the right frame of reference. I'm not sure how to love any more gadgets. No one knows why we put up with this. It's best to resist the urge to sum up.
Well, that's the truth. That's the truth right there, isn't it? You don't want to sum it. You don't want to sum all this stuff up. You just keep going, keep going, keep going. So what are you working on now? You have these two books coming out. I know it never ends.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff are you working on these days?
Right, you are. I am working on non-prose poetry, on a collection which I'm tentatively calling This Visit. And it is verse, and it's kind of really spare. So these little things are like, I like to think of them, I feel that they're a little condensed, you know, dense things. I don't know, little lead balls. And then the stuff I'm writing now is the opposite. It's all spread on the page and not a whole lot of words. And I don't know beyond that. No idea.
Sure. Yeah, I know. What a question to ask. You know, you ask a poet, hey, what are you working on? And they're like, you know the fucking world? Matt, you know the whole world? Like, I'm working on that. I'm just putting that, like, on a, here and there on a page, a couple words here at a time. I'm working on that. So I'm just full of useless questions.
I love your questions. You're great.
Oh, thanks. So,
no, you're great at this.
I practice every week, every Tuesday. I sit here and yammer on, and it's great. My grandma's listening right now. She's sending me. She's clicked like on the link. Awesome.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Grandma. So I want to thank you for coming on the show. I think that's pretty
thank
much
you.
all we have for this time. But the good news is that life is long, and I hope you come back on the show another time when you got some. If you haven't, you'll have a new project. You blink your eye, you'll have another thing coming out. So I hope you'll come on.
Thank you. I really appreciate this. It was a lot of fun, and it was a pleasure talking to you. And I look forward to reading Tollbooth. I didn't know I could buy it from your personal website. That is what I'm going to do.
Yes. I just stuck it back up on there again today. I got copies flopping around again. Publisher gave me some more. So click
fantastic.
Around. Maybe it will work for you.
Yeah, I will definitely do
it,
and so should all your listeners. Thank you so much, Bud.
All right. Take care, Susan.
Bye-bye.
Susan.
Take care.
Susan Lewis, the great Susan Lewis.
Thanks, Bud. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, so you guys should all check that out. State of the Union, her new collection, and very, very soon she will have another one popping up. Just buy everything Susan puts out. Next on the show, we're going to have John Dorsey come on, and he's going to talk about all things John Dorsey. And if you give me just one second here as I find his fucking bio. I like to get people to send me bios so I can read them, but then I lose them. Here we go. John Dorsey is the author of several collections of poems, including Teaching the Dead to Sing, The Outlaw's Prayer, Sodomy is a City in New Jersey, that's where I'm from, American Metal Books, that's 2010. He also wrote a book called Leaves of Ash. And most recently, from Epic Rights Press, he has one called Tombstone Factory. And his work has been nominated for Pushcart Prizes. He's always got some great stuff popping up. And I believe he's working on a book with three other poets, I'm drawing a blank on who the fuck they are right now, but maybe John can give us a little more thorough information because it's his life, and I'm sure he knows better than I do. John, you there?
Yeah, bud, I'm there.
How you doing, man? What's up?
Oh, not too much, man. Just trying to relax, like, you know, keeping busy. How about you?
Well, I haven't showered from work yet, so I still stink. And I'm drinking my third cup of coffee in a row, so that helps. And I just listened to Pink Floyd Animals again for the 100th time in the last month, so I'm pretty much, I've met my quota. And that's where I'm at. Where are you calling from tonight, man?
Well, I'm just sitting in a friend's apartment in Cleveland right now because a buddy of mine who's putting together a book for me, I've just been here overseeing the production. So.
Yeah, I think I've heard rumors of this book. I was just talking to Wolf Carson's last week. He came on the show, and he was telling me about some great book you put out. Was it 20 Poems About Girls? Is that the book you're referring to?
Yeah, that's the book they're assembling now. Yeah, that book will actually be out October 5th. But man, I can't tell you. I have so many projects going on right now. It's actually kind of hard to keep them straight.
Fuck yeah, man. Power to you, man. You have to, you know, when you got the ball rolling. I guess it's awesome just to keep going and see where you wind up. The book you're helping oversee, is this the one that is made out of birch? It's like birch law, birch.
Yeah, that's 20 Poems About Girls. Like the way that book is basically like it's 20 poems about girls that I've known and have had a crush on, or maybe I've slept with them or anything in between. But my friend Alex in Cleveland, he wrote the press called Hideout, and he called me and he was like, yeah, well, I want to do 20 hardcovers since there are 20 poems, and then I want to do 500 standard chapbooks. So,
nice.
You know, that's what we're doing, and that's what all this week I've kind of been overseeing that, and then I've got to go to a reading in Pittsburgh on Friday. But
that's cool. You ever been out to Pittsburgh?
I actually grew up around Pittsburgh, but I haven't lived there for a long time, like close to 20 years, and I haven't read there in about 14 years. So,
yeah, I mean, I keep hearing from various people, like, you know, Pittsburgh's got a really cool scene. Get out there and check it out, like great food and beer and all that shit there. So I want to go out there and check it out one of these days.
I mean, it's cool, man, but I think it's like anywhere, and I'm sure you can will agree with this. Like, if you grew up there, it's kind of a love-hate thing. So,
you know.
Me in Pittsburgh, I don't know, but
I hear you. There's a great song by Mason Jennings called Pittsburgh. Anybody check that out? He's pretty great singer songwriter guy, and it's definitely captures some of the misery of living in the middle of Pennsylvania. So I hear you there, man. So I want to talk to you a little bit about. You have this book that just came out with Epic Rights Press this year, Tombstone Factory. Will you kind of talk about that a little bit? Like, what's, you know, not to say what's it about, but can you give kind of like a, set it up a little bit? What's the deal with Tombstone Factory?
I can talk about that, which is basically just to say, like, I went through a period, like, from probably, like, When Scott Wahnberg died, if you knew Scott, and August 2011, until for about a year and a half, where I had about 15 friends die in a row. I was going to a funeral about once a month, and I found myself writing all these poems for friends that had passed away, just kind of my situation. So that's kind of where the title comes from, and that's more or less what the book is about, although. I mean, there are personal narratives in there, too. It's just not about death, but that, you know, those experiencing all that death kind of got the book rolling. And then, you know, I talked to Wolfgang, who had been after me for about 4 years, to put out an Epic Rights book that I told him I wanted to do it. And he immediately was like, yes, let's just do it. And he and I are actually talking about some future projects right now. But so,
oh, that's cool. Yeah. I mean, it's always tough to write about people dying, but at least you know you're able to maybe get it off your mind a little bit there, you know. I know from personal experience, I always enjoyed that at least I was able to do that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's true what they say. I mean, writing is therapy, and I'll tell you what, I think putting together that book kind of functioned as therapy for me. So, but, I mean, thankfully other people seem to have gotten something out of it as well, so can't complain.
Yeah, you never complain. So you have this other book. I heard Jason Hardung. He told me a little bit about it, and I'm curious if you have a 4-way book coming out with a few other guys. Jason, oh, is it Ryberg? Ryberg's in there,
Seth
Elkins, right?
Yeah. This year has just been crazy. That book is called Motel Diner Liquor. And it is being put out by Spartan Press in Kansas City, which is run by the guys who own Prospero's Bookstore. And it's me, Jason Reberg, Jason Hardung, and Seth Elkins. And it's 200 pages. It's 50 pages of poems by each of us. And I'll have copies of that by Friday, but it's actually out right now. It just came out.
Oh, okay.
But this year, it's just been crazy. I did a... I'll mention something else offhand. I did a little book that was all hardcover. I did for Lead Graffiti Letterpress in Newark, Delaware. That was my second hardcover book. But I actually went up to the Letterpress studio in Delaware and watched them press my book. So that was really cool, too. But like I said, if I went into like everything that's going on right now, wouldn't even have enough time.
Fuck yeah, I hear you. Well, that's cool. So that's good then. That's good that you're staying busy. I'm curious if I can get you to read some stuff.
Oh, sure. I wasn't originally going to read from Tombstone Factory, but since you mentioned, I'm going to read one poem from that. And then I'm going to mention another thing that I'm working on and read a poem or two from that. But this is from Tombstone Factory. It's called The Bride of Frankenstein.
Great.
My eighth grade shop teacher once sewed off 3 fingers in the same week, often sending us in search of his missing digits, promising extra credit to the lucky student who helped him sew them back on in the nurse's office. We were Frankenstein. He was the misunderstood monster with weak hands and bolts for brains. It was a few weeks before we noticed her potbelly, the new girl. She had transferred in mid-semester. Rumor had it to escape an abusive father. He in his mid-40s, it seemed strange to see them holding hands behind his weathered workbench. But what did we know? Their romance was a silent movie, though if there had been any protests, they would have been hard to hear over the noise on the shop floor. As time went by, we noticed her stomach expanding, teaching us more at 14 than any health class ever could. One afternoon, the principal came in and asked us to wait out in the hall. He had us line up against a wall and walked quietly back inside. She was crying, an ugly princess in a flaming tower made from balsa wood that would never hold up against the weight of her own decisions. We took turns running up to the shop window, steaming the glass. When it was my turn, all I could see were the girl's parents, screaming in slow motion, and mouthing the words pregnant and slut. A few days later, a new teacher walked in and inspected our work. We said nothing. We found out over the summer that they had had twins, getting married in a quick shotgun service so we could avoid jail time, later moving in with his aging mother. She became the bride of Frankenstein. In a gown draped with faded pearls, she could never feel pure. His fingers touched her lips, but were too misshapen to ever wear a ring. Their love, like a lopsided birdhouse, never seemed to match up quite right. As years went by, people talked. we the villagers, watching quietly as her future became invisible. Words hung like burning pitchforks on the tongue of God, more sad than angry that her dreams had not been sown on stronger hands.
Nice. I was going to do something else, man. What's that poem called?
Yeah, man. What's that? That's called The Bride of Frankenstein. It actually is the first poem in Tombstone Factory.
Nice. Oh. Writing that one down. All right. What else you got?
Okay. I'm working on, I have a book coming out in March of 2014 because I, the press that put out 20 Poems About Girls, Hideout Press, they're putting out another book for me with my friend D.R. Wagner, which will be out in March, but I want to read two poems from that. And this is a poem called, Harvest Moon.
Cool.
I can still see you mowing your grass. Neil Young and Frank Zappa on oversized headphones, sweat-stained Alice Cooper t-shirt, born to two deaf parents, helping your mother hang clothes out on the line, helping your father build model airplanes with silent propellers. Your love held suspended like ghost song, not yet ready to fly. And let's see here. I'm going to do something I don't normally do, which is that same book, since I collaborated with a friend, I'm going to read one of his poems from that book.
Oh, cool.
And this is a poem by D.R. Wagner, which is called Dream Bridge. I am the bridge of dreams. I am bounded only by waking. I am beyond the law. I am part of life and of death. I am the bones of stars. I am the color of the universe. I am far islands the morning before the carnival. I am the sparkling end of a power cable, spitting into the night full of rain. I am the sound of 10,000 tree frogs, the rainforest. I am the coughing of the jaguar. In the morning, steam rises from me. The dawn streams through my head. I hold you close and move inside your body. I taste your skin. It is sweet and salty, writing as I enter you, again and again, just as you awaken. I am gone seconds after your eyes open.
Well, that guy's really great. Was D.R. Wagner, is that what you said?
Yeah, D.R. Wagner, actually, he, D.R., I don't know, I guess D.R. is about 70 or 71 now. He, back in the 60s, he was a close, a really close personal friend of D.A. Levy, if you've ever read D.A. Levy. And he worked with people like Kenneth Rexroth and Jim Morrison and Allen Ginsberg. And D.R. and I are super tight. He's like my BFF, so it's good to be able to do this collaboration with him. So,
yeah, collaboration is always a good thing. It seems like, have you really been embracing the collaboration lately? Or is this, or do you always try to kind of space it out, whether you're collaborating or doing your own thing?
I always embrace it when it happens. Like in 2005, 2006, I did a lot of it. Like S.A. Griffin, uh-huh, and Scott Wahnberg and I collaborated a lot. But just recently, like Motel Diner Liquor, that book, like that kind of happened accidentally, more organically. And I'm working on another collaborative project, but thing with DR, it was really kind of intentional. It was something that we had wanted to do for a long time. So I'm really having a great time. I have a great time doing everything. So
yeah. What are you working on now? What are you up to these days?
What's your current
project that you're most focused on right now?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I've got one thing that's related to poetry and one thing that's not. Like in 2001, I wrote a stage play that ran off Broadway in New York for actually quite a while. And that's being adapted into a full-length feature film right now.
Cool. So what's that happening now?
It's going to shoot probably, I think, sometime next year. in both in New Jersey and in New York.
Cool.
And that'll be really cool. And then book-wise, there's going to be a full-length a hardcover edition of my early poems that's being published by Kilmog Press in New Zealand sometime in the spring. So
nice.
But and then the collaboration with DR will be out in March, so we're going to do a launch party for that. So, you know, every time I open my email these days, I get offered something else, so it's I'm not going to complain. It's great. It's good to be busy.
Cool. Yeah, that's good, man. Yeah, you got to stay busy, you know. I'm wondering if I can get you to read it, get you to read a little more.
Oh, sure. You certainly can. All right. You know, a lot of, I'll read this poem. This is a piece called Philadelphia Poem for David Snellbaker. You were the first real friend I ever made here, telling me about your days with a Mexican religious cult, where they tried to brainwash that man right out of your hair. You said they'd have to whitewash the streets with blood to make you feel clean again. And that's a tiny poem. But I think what I'm going to do is read you a few poems from 20 poems about girls. And
nice.
That book is, the one thing I'll say about it, it's really, the pieces are really short. You're going to notice that right away because they were meant to be poems that would fit on postcards. So.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'll read about three or four of those because I can zip through them. This is a poem called Audra. All through freshman year, I waited for your Soundgarden t-shirt to brush against my sleeves, watching as the skinny puppy patch on your book bag disappeared into the hallway, into a sea of cool I had not yet learned how to swim. And that actually is one of the longer pieces in this book, if you can believe that, but I'm going to pull up a
few. I love how it seems like you keep having t-shirts. The t-shirt says so much about the person, you know, and I guess it's most of the time you're talking about a teenager or somebody who hasn't seemed to let go of that their teenage years because they're still in those band t-shirts, you know, still defining them. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I intended the book to be like 100 pages. I wanted to do like 100 of these really short things, but you know, I don't really work with publishers that are print on demand. So what happens is, economically, it's a lot to have someone to take on. So it wound up being a smaller book, but I don't mind at all. But this is a poem called Debbie. When I think about your smile, it makes me wish that your heart had been as pretty as your teeth. Two more. Like these short pieces are hard to do because they're hard to read. And, you know, when I wrote them, to be honest, I wasn't sure if anyone would really get what I was trying to do. But I don't know.
Oh, with the book or with doing readings of them?
Not even the reading, just the whole book, like the whole premise of doing poems that are really, I mean, I think, like, it's kind of bad to say, but there are 20 poems, and I think they might total 100 lines. And from a publication standpoint, it can be hard to sell a book like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
How is each poem set up? Is it are they individually titled something abstract, or is it the name of the girl?
Yeah, it's the name of the girl. It's the name of the girl. In fact, on the hardcover editions, each edition is kind of like it's specifically numbered. And it has, basically, if you get, I'm going to read this poem called Brooke. And if you're one of the buyers, you could get the Brooke edition, or you could get the Lisa edition. Edition's name. Yeah, and each one of the covers of the Birchwood, each cover is different. The publisher is really, he's really driven himself crazy by making each of these books completely unique.
That's cool.
You know, so, but I'll read this. This is a poem called Brooke. You lived in a South Philly crash pad with hippies and bedbugs, wore a flower in your hair, and actually liked me. That's why I left.
Yeah, that's something else. Yeah, she actually liked you, so you left. That's good.
Yeah, well, you know, I tend to have a problem with girls that really like me. You know, if they treat me like shit, I'll stay around forever. But,
yeah, if one hits you, like, in the head with a beer bottle, you, like, marry her, you know, that kind of
stuff. Yeah, well, that's kind of my M.O., man. You're not, like, 37 and single without a reason, so.
Yeah.
But, all right. Let's see. Yeah, well, I was going to do one more, but I'll do two more because I really kind of like this little one. This is called Ashley. Fucking me the first night we met didn't make you a whore. Charging me did.
I love how quick these go by. They're great.
What's that?
I love how quick these go by. They zip by. They're like, it must be awesome seeing readings of these. Because it's like watching somebody almost, you know, it's the same thing as watching a stand-up do jokes, you know. These little poems that fly by. It's got to be great.
Yeah, man. Well, usually the one thing about these, like, if people are really paying attention, it's fantastic. But if not, they go so quick that you kind of, that's the one great thing about them being in a book. You can kind of sit there with them. So.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is the last one I'll read of these, and it's a poem called Sarah Jane. Your T-shirt mentioned Camden, New Jersey. I just want you to know you're prettier than that.
I often say that I don't believe in hell, but I believe in Camden, New Jersey, and they're the same thing. You know?
Well, yeah, I lived in Center City, Philadelphia for 6 years. And, many times, like, I would just find myself randomly, like, taking a walk across the bridge, like, the Ben Franklin Bridge into New Jersey, and you would wind up at Camden. But the one thing they don't tell you is that pedestrian crosswalk closes at 7 o'clock. So one night I got stuck in Camden, New Jersey, and I had to sleep on the campus at Rutgers. So...
Yeah, it's fucked up. I mean, you know, Camden's definitely screwed up. It's, you know, it's the inner city of Philly, and it's, you know, it's in Jersey, but it's definitely the inner city of Philly. And, you know, I used to go there to see concerts a lot, and one time we were going to a show, and everything was flooded, and you couldn't get to the venue, and you kept driving around in circles until you were farther and farther in a place you didn't want to be, and then you're in this just giant lake of water, and then the car is fucking broken down, and yeah, so it sucks. Don't go there. People listen.
No.
Don't go to Camden, New Jersey. That's my public service announcement for you.
That's about right.
Yeah, man. So, it was great having you on. It was great having you read, and I hope everybody checks out some great books you got. Tombstone Factory. Digging the idea of that. Epic Rights Press stuff is always cool as hell. And I'm really, really digging this 20 poems about girls. Seems really cool. Looking forward to picking that one up myself.
Yeah, thanks, man. And, if anyone's interested in that, they can just Hideout Press has a Facebook page, and they also have a WordPress page. And if you just Google Hideout Press, it'll come up. And, of course, Tombstone Factory is available on Wolfgang's Tree Killer Inc. website. So, but also, if people are interested, they can just message me on Facebook, and I can point you in the right direction for any of it. So,
there you go, straight from the horse's mouth.
So, man, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's nice having you on, man. I hope you have a great night, and hopefully we'll talk soon again.
Oh, yeah, man. Draw me a line about anything, anytime, and I will talk to you soon, and thank you so much.
All right. Have a nice night, John.
All right, buddy.
Okay. And this song means it's over. The show, I think, was a success. I talked in a dizzying circle about nothing, but I think my guests kind of saved it. The great Susan Lewis, thank her so much for coming on and talking about State of the Union and her new website, Posit. It's like Post-It, So you get rid of the theme, positive. Also, John Dorsey, he really killed it, didn't he? Tombstone Factory, Epic Rice Press, and 20 Poems About Girls. So check both those things out. All his stuff, actually. He has like 70 books coming out this year or something. So click around and buy them all. And I don't know when I'll talk to you guys again. Probably sometime around Thanksgiving. Like I said, the show's going on hiatus for a little while. We'll see what's going to happen with, believe I have an interested guest host. So we'll see what happens with that. If you don't hear from me, I hope you all have a nice time. And thanks for listening, and as always, take care.